and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
Hello, welcome to Sports Central. This is Nathan Felina. Hopefully you guys are all enjoying the day. It's a beautiful day outside, 60 degrees on this October 10th, 2024. Got Corey Geiger in here. Corey, it's a beautiful day out. How are we doing today?
Oh, man, I just left the baseball field having some baseball practice. It's 60 degrees in the middle of October, man. I will take that any day.
Any day for sure. Before we get into all the sports stuff, I do have to mention, I watched a movie last night. I've watched this plenty of times, and I think it's one of the greatest movies. If you haven't seen Scream already, it is a classic. Scream is one of the best horror films you will ever watch. I just rewatched it again last night.
You're doing it again! You're like trying to have our Halloween show.
I know, it's
on
hard
October
not to.
10th.
Listen, I need to let the people know.
Yes.
You have to watch Scream. Before you get to Halloween, you gotta watch Scream. Scream is such a good movie. I believe Wes Craven directed it,
yes,
if I'm correct.
Yeah, and it gets you right from the beginning, mm-hmm, with Drew Barrymore and all that stuff.
It, in my opinion, is the best opening scene in cinematic history because it locked in right away.
Yes.
It goes right into it. So.
And, you know, we'll give away the ending if you haven't seen it in 30 years with Dax Shepard and Skeet Ulrich. They're both killers.
Yes.
And, like, my wife and I, we laugh at this one scene. Dax Shepard going like, I'm dying here, you know, at the end. It's like, Scream 1 is amazing.
It is even Scream 2 is pretty good
as well. But when did it fall apart? Scream 2 I thought was really good too, mm-hmm, but then again, like what they have to do with sequels, they're trying to make money. How many Screams have there been now? 4 or 5?
Oh my God, it's been more than 4 or 5.
I think
there's 4 or 5, and then there's been remakes. Now, the remakes aren't too terrible. There was a remake a couple years ago. The 2022 one was pretty
solid. Is it the same people or no? Nev Campbell and all them or no? Different people?
Some of them make reappearances, but it's a whole new cast for these newer ones. I'm trying to remember what Scream 3, 4, and 5, they had the original cast, and I cannot remember off the top of my head. I haven't seen past Scream 4, so I'm not exactly sure. But I think the original movie is just a masterpiece.
Oh, man, that cast, you know, Nev Campbell,
Courtney Cox,
they're fantastic. They were just amazing in that. And then, again, you're right. I'm looking for movies that will draw me in the first 3, 4, 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
As we've gotten older and short attention span theater and you got Netflix, I mean, there's one of those like Netflix paralysis things because they've got 10,000 movies. It's hard to give any movie a whole lot of time. So if they don't catch you in 3, 4, 5 minutes, you just go to something else.
Exactly. I think that was just directed perfectly where it just because you're not getting any background to start it off. You're kind of just going right into it. She's on the phone. Got the killer.
Then they have the party, and Rose McGowan gets killed in the
garage
door, mm-hmm, thing, which is, I mean, isn't that so high school? Like, you got like 2-3 kids murdered in your town. What are we gonna do, Nathan? Let's have a party.
Let's have a party. Let's go drink some beer. What we're actually gonna do is get beer in the garage by ourselves whenever the killer's right. It is. That's every horror movie cliche is. And what's hilarious is they're talking whenever Halloween's on the TV. They're talking
exactly
about all of the. And you just hear. And if you. Because I didn't pick this up at first.
Yes.
But especially whenever. I forget what the exact line was. But it's like, I'll be right back. I think it was like.
Uh-huh.
You never say I'll be right back.
No, that's right. Exactly.
And then,
right,
then 10 seconds later, Courtney Cox leaving the studio van outside. She's like, I'll be right back to the other guy. Anyways.
So this is the second time you've tried to you've wanted to do the Halloween show before Halloween.
Listen, I'm not trying to do the Halloween show. I'm just giving some tips. I got to let people know what's going on in my life. And I watched that movie last night again.
I like that.
It's
good.
So good. But we're going to get into sports topics because obviously that is the main part of the show
here. Does it have to be?
It doesn't have to be. But I'll tell you what. 3 weeks from now, we will go into tons and tons of horror movies, candy. We'll do all that fun stuff. And, of course, we'll have predictions on that day as well, which we'll have predictions later in the show. And we got a lot of games, especially in college football. One of the best college football weekends I can remember in some time. I tried picking out games. Usually I try to get around 8. I need to cut some. I have 12 right here. I mean,
that's okay.
It's all good, but there's so many. There's about probably 5 or 6 more I could have included.
Well, here's what's interesting when you're doing picks. This is just the way sports work. So we disagreed on 10 games last week. And what did we say when we walked out? Like, we'll probably split them and go 5 and 5. And we did. We split them and went 5 and 5 on the 10 games. So that's the way sports work is like – You got the Ravens because the Bengals bungled that up at the end.
Yeah.
And yet I got the Cowboys because the Steelers. That's football, especially in the NFL. when you pick a game, man, and weren't you in a Survivor pool?
Yes, Survivor pool.
And
so
Survivor
pool is you have to pick a team every week.
And you went out in the first week, right?
First week with the Bengals.
And then you bought back in, right?
Yep.
And you went out in the second week, right?
Yep.
That's the NFL for you,
yes,
right there in a
yes.
nutshell.
Now I am in a different one now because we had to restart it because everybody got out by week four. I'm one of five people because everybody last week pretty much took Seattle to beat the Giants. Next thing you know, Giants go into Lumen Field.
So you got a chance here at a few $100?
Yeah, I got a chance here.
All right.
So we'll figure it out. There's five people remaining. I'm trying to remember how I used it. I used the Niners the first week of it, which was week four. They end up losing last week, which we'll talk about that game later because both teams are coming off losses. The 49ers, Seahawks. It's going to be really interesting. I'm trying to remember. I think I picked Jacksonville last week. I rolled the dice. I went with Jacksonville, who's 0-4, hosting Joe Flacco and the Indianapolis Colts. They end up pulling it out at the end. Probably don't deserve it, but we're still in it. So we'll figure that out. But let's stick with the NFL, and let's talk about coaching, because Tuesday a bombshell drops. Robert Saleh's out, which I think people realized he was on the hot seat, but people didn't realize how hot it was. Getting out week five, your 2-3 start. Is it a good idea to blow this up pretty much? I mean, taking your head coach out after Super Bowl expectations is interesting. I don't know if they can recover from this. I highly doubt an interim coach ever won a Super Bowl, let alone a deep playoff run. I can't remember anybody off the top of my head who's taken a team like that, at least somebody that's been fired. And maybe, you know, coaches have stepped down or had to go away from the team for personal reasons and stuff like that. That has happened in the past. But a coach being fired at the beginning of the year, the last time it was this quick was Matt Rhule. The Panthers ended up having the first overall draft pick. So we'll see what happens, but I got some coaches on the hot seat right here. We'll kind of discuss them and if we actually think they're going to get fired. I didn't put him on the list, but Mike Tomlin, I guess, is a guy that's interesting because they did just extend him. I don't think there's any way they're going to get rid of Mike Tomlin. That's just not what the Steelers do. But there's a lot of eyebrows raised, especially after this offense, that it's hard to say that it was Matt Canada and Kenny Pickett now because this is still happening right now with the new offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith and Justin Fields, and if Russell Wilson goes in, I'm sure it's going to be the same exact thing. I don't think he has a hand with everything in it. I just think Arthur Smith is a run-dominant offensive coordinator. He tries to get that going as well. So, you know, he did wonders with Derrick Henry, but hate to break the Steelers fans, Najee Harris is not Derrick Henry. So, Mike Tomlin, I don't think there's any chance he gets fired. Do you think he's even a remote chance he gets fired?
I think he has a lifetime contract. I admitted this earlier in the week that I was happy they lost. I was watching this game at 12:45 a.m., and this was a horrendous performance by the Steelers, and they got their ass kicked for basically 59 and a half minutes, and they're one play away from winning the game. And had they won the game, it's just further justification for Mike Tomlin continuing to do all this crap that he does. Now, he's not going to get fired. He's not going to be on the hot seat. I think it would take probably two or three more years because, again, they made the playoffs last year.
It's so strange. It's this method could get you to the playoffs. It might eventually win you a game. You're just not winning Super Bowls with it, and that's the ultimate goal.
No, you're not.
That's the ultimate goal.
But the reason, even as a Steelers fan, I was glad that they lost is I still hold deep down inside a hope. Now, I don't think there's very much hope for this, but I still have hope that he will change his stripes at this stage in his coaching career. He will not, but the only way we can hope that he will is if they lose. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, this is not a team playing, no team playing this style in 2024 can advance deep in the playoffs or win a Super Bowl. You can get there. You can go 9-8 or 10-7 doing this. They did that. But my only hope is that Mike Tomlin finally learns a lesson. And if it takes them going 5-11 or 6-10 or 5-12 or 6-11, I'm probably okay with that if it would force him to change.
Yes. And what's so weird to me is I think he has confidence in the quarterbacks. I don't think he has any confidence in his receiver core. I don't know if it's because he thinks Pickens, obviously he's got some, I think, character issues. I think he does some stuff questionable at times. He's not maybe run blocking every play, and that was kind of a theory going out there that, because he wasn't out there for, you know, I think he was only out 60% of the snaps or something like that, which usually he's playing 80, 90% of the snaps, and people are saying because he wasn't run blocking, he was getting pulled, his targets were going down, stuff like that. I'll tell you what, his eye black still reads that he's going to be the best receiver in the league, but
he claims there was news today. They talked to Pickens today because his eye black read open effing always, And the NFL has a policy that you can't have personal messages on your iBlocks. He's going to get fined. Mm-hmm. He claims that he didn't know anything about the policy.
Which might be true. I don't put that.
It's hard
it.
To believe, but you know.
I see people write stuff on it all the time.
He says, "Never seen it before. Have you seen it before?" Like turning the question back on. So he's going to get fined, mm-hmm. but he's in a line of petulant children playing wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Antonio Holmes, Antonio Brown, this guy, Deontay Johnson. I mean, for whatever reason. Mike, and what's the common thread there? Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin can't rein these guys in.
Exactly, exactly. I think it's going to take getting someone else in there to mentor him. I don't think they're going to try at all for Davante Adams. I don't think they're going to want to pay him the cap. It's going to take a big hit with that. So I don't think he's the guy coming in, but they need to really consider someone. Maybe D-Hop. D-Hop might be on the trade block later. Amari Cooper, they're not going to trade in division, the Browns, but Amari Cooper I think might get moved because the Browns, we'll talk about their head coach in a minute here, but the Browns are in a really bad spot. It's going to be interesting to say. I think Mike Tomlin will eventually have to change this offense. I don't know if it's going to be this year. I think it's going to take maybe some more receiver help because I think he has confidence. I think he knows Justin Fields can throw the ball. I think a lot of Steelers fans, especially in that Colts game, does realize they can throw the ball. It's just a matter of fact of if they're actually going to end up doing it, and I think maybe having a few receivers that get a little bit of separation because – these Pittsburgh receivers, I don't know if you're watching it, they are not getting open. It takes a spectacular throw from Justin Fields to fit it in there, George Pickens on the sideline, back shoulder fade or something like that. So we'll figure it out. I know we got someone calling on the phone line. Who we got and where are you calling from?
All right, yeah, but we'll go to 946-0435. You want to join us? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Corey, it's Chuck from Unionville.
Chuck, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, brother, not much. On the drive home, was able to catch the show. Hey, relative, the only qualifier I give you to Tomlin in a lifetime contract was whether it was the end of last season or the spring or whatever, Art Rooney II did come out and say, this has got to change. No more of this. His patience was done with this, you know, above average season, not getting anywhere in the playoffs, just making it wasn't going to cut it any longer. And I wonder just how many years he will continue as long as Tomlin keeps repeating the same pattern, rinse and repeat. He's never going to change. He is who he is. You know, your record is who you say. You know, your record is what it is. That's about the only hope I think Steelers fans have.
My trouble is what leads any of us to believe that he's going to change his ways. He's still terrible at clock management. He's terrible in late game situations. We talked about it on the Black and Gold show, Chuck, that the Steelers' game plan is strength and physicality, or toughness and physicality. And that's it. What's plan B? If you're not a bigger badass than the other team, how are you going to beat the other team? And I still don't think Mike Tomlin has a plan to do that.
Well, it's like I said on the show on Tuesday, you can do that and win if you have the horses. If you got personnel, and they don't, and they won't, and they've shown over Tomlin's tenure that he doesn't know how to draft and develop those kinds of people. Again, the hope is not that Tomlin changes. The hope is when Rooney came out this year, which was really out of kind of character for him. He doesn't really have much to say. He doesn't have much to comment. When he came out and said, look, we're done with this. This has got to change. One can only hope that there becomes a time when Tomlin or, you know, continues what he's doing and Rooney's going, we're not going to continue with this. And whether it's Tomlin steps aside or Tomlin says, I'm going to step away from the game, 2 years later he reemerges where some way, you know, where it's not a firing. But I think that's the only hope there is for the Steelers, or, you know, for the Steeler Nation.
So, Chuck, you say that Rooney might not have the patience with this. How long do you think you obviously don't know, but what do you think his leash is with Tomlin? How many years do you think Tomlin's got here?
Oh, man, who knows? You know, you'd hopefully think maybe the end of the contract, you know. With Rooney's patience, you know, and it's hard to think of how he'd pull the plug. But when Art II came out and said, we're done with this, you know, they mean what they say when they say it. I can at least say that much. So, but it's bleak. You know, it's bleak bleak future for Steelers Nation.
He's got a 3-year extension through at least the 2027 season. Oh, my God. So we got 3 more years of this. Here's my thing. They all know, the Rooneys know, Tom, everybody knows that the quarterback situation is a gigantic question mark this season. So I think this is a little bit of a free pass season, Nathan. What do you think? Because no matter what happens this year, 7-10, 10-7, anywhere in between, they all know that this – and then if you draft a guy or you sign somebody else – they're going to have to give him a year or two to figure that. So it's almost like they're just continuing to kick the can down the road.
Well, that's good. What were you saying, Chuck? Good.
Well, no, 100%. You remember a couple of weeks on the show, I said, you know, Mike Tomczak, Bobby Brister, Mark Ballone. There was like 30 years worth of painful quarterbacks within Steeler Nation after Bradshaw. So who knows how long this goes on, given how hard it is to find a franchise quarterback. Everybody's looking for them. So you're right, Corey. There could be a whole lot of mulligans and qualifiers and everything else that gets Tomlin down that road. And the other thing, though, is Roethlisberger kept Tomlin afloat for who knows how long. Because all these, you've never been a losing whatever. No, that's Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger alone won enough games throughout those years to have kept Tomlin above 500.
No doubt about it.
100%, Chuck, 100%. Appreciate the call right there. So, yeah, Tomlin, it's going to be interesting to see what they end up doing with him. Like you say, he's extended through the 2027 season. I think he's going to go beyond that. I don't see the Steelers moving off him. It's just a personal belief of mine. I think that...
What if they don't win a playoff game between now
if they
and then?
Okay, if they do not win one playoff game, I think they do let
him. Because we're talking 2016 season was the last playoff win. So
that is insane to me.
If you go more than a decade without a playoff win, and what Chuck discussed there, this has become more and more evident given the incompetence on offense that we've seen the last couple of years, that Ben Roethlisberger saved their butts so many times. And we can complain that Ben was kind of wasted at the end of his career, and they had the 11-0 start, but that was really just a fraud. But think of how many games Ben was able to just pull magic out of his hat, throw in for 400 something yards, 500 even, and steal a win for them, just doing it on his own. Because in the post-Ben era, I think we are really and truly seeing gross incompetence offensively from Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I mean, Ben was one of those generational quarterbacks who, like you said, is a franchise-type guy. There's really only probably 10 to 15 of those guys in the NFL. You could argue that we'll save you. I mean, we thought Trevor Lawrence could be that. Trevor Lawrence clearly hasn't been able to do that yet, win games by himself. And Ben Roethlisberger is one of those guys. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger, he kind of sort of saved, like you said, Tomlin's tenure right there because he did pull stuff out of his butt, and he absolutely played fantastic at times in which they probably shouldn't have won games. They end up do winning games. So it's going to be tough because it's very, very tough to stumble across a franchise, guys. Like I said, you probably got 10 to 15 of those guys. You'd actually went on the field and say, listen, he's going to win me a game right there. That might even be overselling. You might only have like 8 of them. So
the incompetence to hire Matt Canada, then the incompetence to give Matt Canada a second year. And then you think, well, Arthur Smith, he's had success in Tennessee, had some success in Atlanta, offensively anyway. Maybe they struggled some other parts of the game. But you think, okay, well, they're just as bad this year with Arthur Smith as they were with Matt Canada. I mean, they're averaging 18 points a game. They can't move the ball. What's the common thread?
Tomlin.
It's Tomlin.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing here is Kreider's question on the Black and Gold Breakdown show Tuesday was, do they play an outdated style of football? And I'm 1,000,000,000% yes on that. That he's this notion of trying to win every game, not just trying to win some games, but trying to win every game 16-13. It puts your entire organization in a gigantic disadvantage because you just don't have plan B, C, or D. If you can hold the Ravens to a touchdown and 2 field goals and beat them 16-13, which they have, and he's done enough of that to prove that it can work. But you're not going to be able to do that every week. Somebody's going to get hurt. Your quarterback's going to have some interceptions. T.J. Watt is not going to be effective. It's like if their 16-13 formula doesn't work, they don't have any other option.
Any team that is explosive offensively, it's not going to work against because it takes one play where it just completely fumbles the bag right there.
You know what that's like? That's like Penn State. Because we'll probably transition this in a second. How many games have you seen in your life, and people who are older, we've seen Penn State kind of toy with some teams, and maybe a team gets a drive or two good together, and all of a sudden you're like, damn, man, Penn State just really doesn't look all that good. 60-yard touchdown. Game over. Because Penn State has – not against Ohio State or Michigan, but generally against these overmatched opponents – these teams might look good for a little while, and then boom, one big play, because it takes them so long. They might have one nice 12-13 play drive, but they're going to have to earn every yard of it, and then Penn State will come out and score quickly, reestablish control of the game. And I've seen it dozens of times over the last 20 years to where you crush a team's hope that way, a team that thinks that they can pull off an upset and they're playing with you for a quarter and a half, 2.5 quarters, and all of a sudden it's like you get one big play and now you've lost by 3 touchdowns.
Yep. Bowling Green earlier this year, you had Illinois who went down. They had a great opening drive and they were ineffective the rest of the game. It always happens with Penn State. It's because they do this thing where it's almost like they're trying to feel out their opponent, and once they figure them out, they're able just to go right into it and destroy them, which we'll see if they can do to USC this weekend, which we'll talk about on the other side.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
At ShoeFly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into ShoeFly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. ShoeFly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of ShoeFly's fit specialists, visit their website, ShoeFlyStores.com. ShoeFly. Your feet will thank you.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Mel and Chris have meals to go. Hot, delicious, homemade meals served up from 11:30 to 2. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5:30. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. 943-6328. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Auto Mart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Auto Mart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Auto Mart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
Hank FM.
Sports Central here with Nathan Ferlin and Corey Geiger talking about Mike Tomlin in their first little segment right there and talking about, you know, is he really on the hot seat? Is there any chance he moves on from Pittsburgh or Pittsburgh fires him? We all came to the conclusion it ain't happened until at least 2027.
See, I think there is a chance Mike Tomlin could want to leave at some point and look for something else. I don't see the Steelers firing him, but in 2025, 2026, could they work out a trade? Could they get I could see something like that where both sides realize
mutually agree.
It's a mutual.
Yeah, 100%. We'll talk about some other coaches real quick. Some guys that their seat's getting a little warm, a little toasty. Dennis Allen in New Orleans dropping three straight games now. He's been there for, I believe, this is his third year going in. Really no success down there. I mean, obviously Drew Brees ends up leaving and Sean Payton does as well, and they're going to obviously have a little bit of struggle between then. They bring in Derek Carr, who is a salvageable quarterback. He can probably lead them to a playoff berth, but they haven't really seen that yet. So Dennis Allen, his seat's a little bit warm. I think that he's probably gone after this year if they don't make the playoffs, in my opinion.
Yeah, Carr's hurt now, though, right?
Carr is going to be out for probably 2 to 3 weeks, they're saying.
So how much does that weigh on how an owner would view a coach?
Yes, and it's going to be interesting to see what Spencer Rattler does down there.
I'm looking forward to seeing that, because if you remember – Three, four years ago when Spencer Rattler was at Oklahoma before transferring to South Carolina, everybody thought like he was going to be the number one pick. All these preseason, whatever year it was, 2021.
2021. That was before Caleb Williams even got a start.
Yeah, before the season, I think Mel Kiper, and you can say whatever you want about Mel Kiper, but he knows what NFL people are talking about. He's just not just throwing this stuff out, but he had Spencer Rattler as the number one player in the draft. Then Spencer Rattler is benched like 3-4 weeks into the season for Caleb Williams.
Red River rivalry, which we'll talk about here in a little bit.
And then he goes to South Carolina. But yeah. I still think Spencer Rattler is probably, in terms of talent, he still has the physical skills. Now, can he play quarterback? I don't know, but we'll see in the next couple weeks.
He's played a lot of college ball, and that's what's going to
help him.
Exactly. That's what's weird. I don't know if he's going to be that great, but he does. There's a reason you were the number one guy going into college, and scouts are talking about you as the number one pick. There is a reason, so it'll be interesting to see.
Sometimes you just have to get in the right spot. You cannot convince me that Brock Purdy is anybody if he doesn't go to the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah.
He went to the perfect spot for him. Bryce Young went to the worst possible spot for him. Zach Wilson with the Jets, worst possible spot. Christian Hackenberg to the Jets, worst possible spot. You embarrass yourself in practice in front of the New York media. They were making fun of him three practices in because he hit a coach with a pass on the sideline or some crap like that. It just depends on where you go.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll see about Spencer Rattler this weekend. Next guy up, Dave Canales for the Carolina Panthers. I don't think he's going to get fired this year because David Tepper's done this plenty of times where he recycles head coaches. He probably realizes that Dave Canales is not tied to Bryce Young, and this is what he inherited. So I think he's going to get another year. I mean, if they lose the rest of their games, I think his seat's warm, but if they win 2 to 3 games this year, he's going to get another shot, in my opinion.
At some point, you got to have some level of continuity or you become the Cleveland Browns. Is he next on your list?
He's not. He's a little bit farther down. We can hop to him, though. Kevin Stefanski for the Browns. It's going to be interesting. They're going to make decisions. Is it the quarterback or coach? My opinion, it's 100% the quarterback, but the coach also ain't benching him. So it's weird. I don't know if the owner's saying something like, hey, listen, we're paying this guy $220 million. He's playing, or you know, we're not throwing in Dorian Thompson Robinson or Jameis Winston behind this guy. I think Stefanski is gone after this year, especially they're 1-4 right now. It wouldn't shock me if they turn out to be 1-6, 1-7. He's gone at that point.
They had a good roster. It's hard when you spend that kind of money on a quarterback to just bring the coach back. So I would agree. I think they'll probably make a change.
Mike McCarthy for the Cowboys. His contract actually is expiring after the end of this year, so it's more of it's actually going to get renewed. I don't think so, because I don't think the Cowboys are going to do anything crazy, in my opinion. So I think McCarthy might be gone after this year.
Interesting. I actually happen to think Dallas is pretty good.
Really?
I actually happen to think Dallas is an 11-6 team and can win a playoff game.
Folks, this is the media for you. We're going to hype up the Cowboys and the Cowboys.
I hate doing it.
The Cowboys are going to go 10-7, and they're going to get blown out by probably the Lions in the first round.
I'm not one of those people that likes to just talk about the Cowboys all the time, but I happen to think if Micah Parsons is healthy and they're healthy, they have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. And then, you know, history's gone against the Cowboys for 25 years now. But I could see them going 11-6 and winning a game.
They did not bring in enough in free agency in the offseason, in my opinion. They actually got significantly worse. So I don't think that this is the Cowboys' year. Sorry, Cowboys fans. Antonio Pierce for the Vegas Raiders. I think that the way everything's going in that building, I don't think they bring him back this year. Everybody, Devontae Adams, Max Crosby, they all said, hey, listen, this is our guy. We're going to stick by him. And he's completely lost the locker room already 5 weeks in. And he doesn't have a quarterback. He went Gardner Minshew for some reason over Aiden O'Connell. I don't see it. Aiden O'Connell is supposed to be this young guy, supposed to develop.
They did switch now. They're going back to O'Connell.
So we'll
see how that goes.
And they'll probably beat the Steelers this week.
I picked the Raiders to beat the Steelers.
Okay, interesting. Dougie Peterson down in Jacksonville, 1-4 start.
He's gone. If they keep this up, he's gone. They have a lot of expectations there.
Ton of expectations. And the final guy I'll talk about in Philly, Nick Sirianni. His seat is very warm. Yeah. People are over him. I don't see it. I think he developed Jalen Hurts very well. I think they're going to keep rolling with him here at least another year. I mean, I'm assuming they're still going to make a playoff run here. I think they're talented enough to make the playoffs. If they miss the playoffs, maybe he's fired. Yeah. I don't think they miss the playoffs, so I think he's going to be back another year.
I agree with that. If they miss the playoffs, he's gone.
100%. All right, we'll spend a few minutes here on Penn State and USC, kind of talking about the matchup. Penn State's defense right now, fourth nationally, apparently, and they are 11th against the pass. And that is, of course, what USC does very well, is they are a very pass-heavy team with Miller Moss, a very good young quarterback, which you probably have not heard of unless you've watched USC. You're going to hear him this weekend. He's going to be making some plays, in my opinion, but it is strength against strength, defense against Miller Moss. He averages 280 yards per game, which is 17th in the country. The closest quarterback that Penn State's seen even remotely near to Moss is Connor Bazilek from Bowling Green, who's 36 currently nationally. So Miller Moss, definitely the best quarterback they face by far. I'd imagine they're going to give him some problems, but if Penn State knows that, because quite frankly, USC's rushing offense isn't the craziest, 36 in the nation, still solid, but with the fourth rushing defense in the nation for Penn State, you'd imagine they're probably going to bottle up Woody Marks in that USC running game, so they can maybe hone in a little more on Miller Moss in the passing game. But initially, I think Penn State's defense is going to be able to outmatch this USC offense. I don't know if I'm reading the room wrong here, Corey. You agree with me in this situation? Or
it's interesting. Stats, damn lies, and statistics. It's all when you're talking numbers in sports, what do you pay attention to? You gave good numbers. I think their schedule has been atrocious, so none of those numbers mean anything to me. It doesn't mean a thing to me that they have the number four pass defense in the country, given the schedule they've played. And they haven't left home. It's ludicrous. That's not a number that means anything. I watched Connor Bazilek move the ball up and down the field against them.
And that's what scares me, especially in this game. They didn't
get any pressure on them. Then I saw Illinois be ignorant, because I want to say that Brad Bielema is a pretty good coach, but it's like, did you watch the damn game film? He got the ball out of his quarterback's hands in a second every time against Bowling Green. Mm-hmm. Illinois didn't do that. Illinois is dealing 3 and 5 step drops. Like, what the F are you doing? Yeah. What kind of moron are you? It's very simple. I'm simplifying this as much as I possibly can. Take the snap, throw the ball. That's how you beat Penn State. Take the snap, throw the ball. If you take their pass rush out of the, I don't think their secondary is good enough.
I'll agree with you 100%.
Kevin Winston is out. He's
their
not coming back.
Their pass rush is incredible. But if you get rid
of the ball and you take 5 to 6 yards per play, and then you do a pump fake and maybe you throw one 20 yards down the field, it's you do not beat Penn State running the ball, and you do not beat Penn State trying to have your quarterback sit in the pocket for 3 to 4 seconds. You will not ever consistently be. Even Ohio State, it doesn't do that. Ohio State gets rid of the ball. They mix things up very well. So, to me, I actually can see if Lincoln Riley, who I think his job is on the line. We're
100%.
I think Lincoln Riley's job is absolutely on the line.
USC is one stellar drive away from being 2-3 right now.
Yeah. So. And if they lose this, they're out of the playoffs.
Yep.
Okay, he already blew it with Caleb Williams. He had the number one pick in the draft. What did they go, 7-5 last year?
They're
terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, so to me, if I'm Lincoln Riley, I am doing everything in the world I can do with every offensive trick that I've got to try to capitalize on Penn State's secondary.
To me, this feels like he's coaching his first career in this game.
Because, I agree.
I mean, I'm going to quickly just Google USC's schedule coming up here. I don't know who else they play.
They've got, after Penn State, they've got
Maryland.
At Maryland versus Rutgers, at Washington, versus Nebraska, at UCLA versus Notre Dame. They could run the table after this. That's not a great schedule.
It isn't. I mean, I'd be a little fearful of Rutgers and Nebraska because I like both those teams a little bit. And then you got Notre Dame at the end of the year, which can be an interesting matchup.
That would be a good game, but it's in L.A.
It is in L.A.
So if you lose this game, you're done with the playoffs. If you win this game, you at least could run the table, and then the Notre Dame game in the regular season finale determines your playoff fate.
100%, 100%. And you'd only have one loss in conference play you actually have two, sorry. You have Michigan and Minnesota, so.
We don't have a lot of time on this because we got a lot of stuff to get to with our football picks, but I absolutely 100% believe that in 2021, had Penn State finished with a good year, James Franklin would have gone to USC. I am fully convinced that he would have been USC's coach. But then Penn State crapped the bed, and USC didn't want him anymore, and LSU didn't want him anymore.
You think they would have taken James Franklin over Lincoln Riley?
Yes. I don't know that Lincoln Riley would have necessarily been as gorgeous back then, and we're seeing why. Lincoln Riley has underachieved with a lot of talent at times. But at that point, remember, this was the Sean Clifford Iowa game, the Taquan Roberson game.
Yeah.
Where if Penn State goes 11-1 there, maybe gets into the playoff, James Franklin's the number one coaching candidate in the country, ahead of Lincoln Riley. Mm-hmm. I honestly believe that. And given his recruiting, given his charisma, given
that work real multi, well out in
multicultural stuff, all of these things made James Franklin a great fit for USC, and USC would have known it. Now, if USC craps the bed the rest of this year, I think Lincoln Riley is fired.
I agree with you 100%.
And I guarantee James Franklin's name will be on the list. But things have changed since then. Now we have a 12-team playoff. Now James Franklin has an easier path to the playoff at Penn State, where everybody is completely all in. You got a $750 million stadium renovation mm-hmm. going through. Now his name would be involved at USC. But I think he'd be a fool to take USC and leave Penn State at this point.
I would agree with you right there. I would agree with you. You'll hear what we think about our ultimate predictions between USC and Penn State on the other side. Do not go anywhere.
Heading into this weekend, the four drivers in the danger zone. On the outside looking in are Joey Logano, 13 points out in ninth. Daniel Suarez in 10th, Austin Cindric 11th, and Chase Briscoe 12th. Now, Chase Elliott and Tyler Reddick are not exactly safe, barely hanging on in 7th and 8th place. Of course, if any of these drivers win the race, they automatically advance. It might be hard to believe, but there are only 5 races left in the 2024 NASCAR Cup Series season. The round of 12 wraps up this weekend at the Charlotte Roval Road Course, and 4 drivers will be eliminated when the checkered flag waves on Sunday. Up next is the round of 8, which includes the 1.5-mile track at Las Vegas Motor Speedway, the 1.5-mile track at Homestead Miami Speedway, although they're both configured differently, and the short track at Martinsville. Then, it's the Championship 4 race to wrap up the season and crown the Cup Series champion at the 1-mile Phoenix Raceway. The driver that finishes better than the other 3 will take home the title. It's a road course of sorts this weekend, the Charlotte Roval. So, taking a look at the entry list, there are some road course aces on the list, looking to disrupt the playoffs and steal the win away from the regulars. AJ Allmendinger is the defending race winner at this track and is always a threat to win races with right-hand turns. Shane Van Gisbergen already has the win at the Chicago Street Course on his resume and would certainly like to get a trophy from Charlotte. You're on the final lap.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? back. If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code WEALTH to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code WEALTH for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code WEALTH for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
We want to thank our presenting sponsors, J.M. Boswell's, as always, Nita Piper Cigar. That's the place to go. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Go check them out. Always open online at boswellpipes.com. All right, so before we get into our predictions, we got a caller on the line. We're going to hit him real quick. I believe he's talking about Franklin. So
Eric, what's up, buddy? How you doing, Eric?
Good, good. Hey, I just want to say on Franklin, he's got the administration behind him now. They won't schedule anybody decent in non-con. USC is probably not getting out of this annual, which would be a non-con game with Notre Dame. And I saw where something like the team's going east-west.
Yeah.
In the Big Ten are like 1-8.
I saw that.
Whichever way they're going.
Yeah, that's tough. That's good.
He would have more trips east.
The key, Eric, that you mentioned is he's got the administration now. He's been claiming for 3 years, we need everybody on a 365-day commitment, blah, blah. He said it 100 times. He's got that now. He's got Pat Kraft in his back pocket. He's got the administration in his back. The only people he doesn't have in his back pocket are Jay Paterno and Anthony Lebrano. Aside from those two knuckleheads, everybody else is on James Franklin's train right now.
But just like you're saying about with the Steelers and Tomlin, it's the same thing at Penn State. Most places you wouldn't have as long as they've given him because the pressure to win now, win bigger. And so I don't think you're going to get his scenario at that level, but maybe nowhere else he could go.
Good stuff, Eric. Appreciate the call. What do you got, Nate? We're doing predictions, man.
All right, so we're going to hop into college. We'll start out with Penn State and USC. Obviously, we were just talking about that. USC is a four-point dog at home. I like Penn State here. I like them to cover, too. I think their running attack is going to be a little too much for USC. I understand USC is basically playing for their season right here, but I think Franklin, they got a bye week after this. They're not looking ahead one bit. I like Penn State here on the road, going cross country.
I am picking USC.
Wow.
I am taking USC. I think this is their entire season. It is not Penn State's season. Penn State can lose this game and lose to Ohio State and still get into the playoff.
Yeah.
If I'm Lincoln Riley, I am doing everything in the world to save my job. You mentioned it earlier. And that's what I'm basing all of this on, this is his career.
I don't hate the pick. I do not hate the pick one bit.
I think that this is essentially Lincoln Riley's career this week. Because if they're 2-3, they're missing the playoff, and I think he's probably fired.
And then he
will land somewhere else. But my God, how many great quarterbacks can you have and underachieve? And going out west, like that caller said, I'd seen that stat. It's a three-hour time difference. I just think this is the kind of game, because they can throw the ball, I think this is the kind of team that can beat Penn State.
All right, interesting. All right, so we'll go to Friday night lights right here. Utah going to Arizona.
Wait, we're even on the season
right now.
We'll do this. You went first that pick. I'll go first this pick, and we'll go back and forth.
Okay, sounds good. So we got 16 Utah going to Arizona State. Arizona State, 4.5-point dogs at home. We don't know who the quarterback is for Utah.
Oh, is Cam Rising out?
He's been out for the last 4 weeks.
So he's not playing.
We do not know because he's always a game time decision. Ooh. Somehow never goes. But eventually, one of these weeks, he will have to go.
I'm going to go Arizona State then.
I'm going to go Utah just because they're coming off a bye and a bad loss. I think they need to rebound if they still want to keep Big 12 championship aspirations in there. Sorry, two disagreements. South Carolina going to Alabama, who is 21-point favorites at home. Give me Alabama here. I think it's close, though. I think Alabama's defense is a big concern for me.
Yeah, so. Alabama, I don't think they cover three touchdowns.
I don't think they do either. Washington going to Iowa, who's a 3-point favorite at home.
Iowa.
Give me Iowa as well right here. Washington,
interesting.
Washington's a big, big, big win last week. I think they have a letdown right here, and Iowa needs a little bounce-back game. The Red River rivalry, that's so difficult to say, but number one, Texas and Oklahoma. Oklahoma's 14.5-point dogs right here. Give me Texas by a field goal right here. It's a close game.
Really?
Quinn Ewers going to have a little bit of rest coming off the injury. So.
I don't know if they cover 14.5, but I think Texas is real. Texas is my pick. Well, I'm sorry. Ohio State's my pick to win it all, but I think it will be Ohio State, Texas in the national championship.
All right. California going to Pittsburgh. 3.5-point favorites, Pittsburgh. Who's going first? Me?
Who went
first? I already forgot. I
think I'm going first. All right, on this.
Okay.
I am taking Cal.
Give me Pittsburgh at home. It's such an emotional loss last week, and now you got to go across country into a team that's.
I think Cal's pretty good, though.
I think Cal's all right, but I think Pittsburgh's pretty good as well. They're looking pretty good this year. Pretty good this year. Arizona going to 14 BYU. BYU is 4-point favorites at home. I pick Arizona every time and they end up losing, so I gotta transition to BYU.
Okay,
right here.
I was wondering what you're gonna do there. Arizona's letting you down, just like Syracuse is letting me down. I keep picking against Syracuse. I go BYU. I think BYU is really good.
BYU is a solid little team right there.
That guy saved his job this year, Kalani Sitake, because he was on the hot seat coming
absolutely,
in.
Yeah, absolutely. Florida going to Tennessee, 15.5-point favorites. Tennessee off of the big loss last week to Arkansas.
You're first on this one.
I'm gonna take Tennessee by about 10 right here.
Tennessee, that's easy.
All right. We'll save the big game. We got Ole Miss going to Death Valley. 3.5-point underdogs. LSU is at home. I like Ole Miss here.
Yeah.
It's tough to pick against LSU, though.
To take a home, being a home dog, that is really unusual. But I don't know that LSU is all that good. I'll take Ole Miss as well.
Hey, they lost to USC earlier this year, so I think that may be some foreshadowing of what may happen to this game. Because Ole Miss is an air raid type of offense as well. Iowa State going to West Virginia, who's 3-point favorites at home. I want to pick West Virginia so bad right here, but I think Iowa State just a little more talent. Yeah. I am going to go with them.
I'm going with Iowa State as well.
All right, we got Kansas State, number 18, going to Colorado.
You're
going to
pick against Kansas State again?
I just think that...
Who's first this time?
I'll just go first. I'll get out of the way. I'm going to go Kansas State.
Oh,
I don't
come
like
on.
It. I don't
You're
like
always on prime.
I am always on prime. I understand they're coming off a bye week. Big win against UCF. I just think Avery Johnson's a good quarterback, and I think typically Colorado's defense struggles against good quarterbacks. You saw what happened to Dylan Raiola. It was at Nebraska, but I still got to go to Kansas State.
Not only do I think Kansas State wins, I really, 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 really hope they completely whip their ass
I don't
and
think
shut
whip.
Him up.
I don't
really
think they
hope
will.
They do.
I think Travis Hunter's going to make a few big plays offensive and defensively and keep them in this game because that's what he always does.
I don't think they have the lines to play against a Kansas State. What's the line on that?
Four and a half.
Kansas State's home, road favorite.
Road favorite,
yeah. I figured, yeah.
All right, so then we got the big game. Number two, Ohio State. Traveling out to Eugene, Oregon.
Who's up first here?
You can go first right here.
I'm going Ohio State.
I like Ohio State huge.
You said 20 points yesterday.
I'm gonna say 14. I'm gonna say 14 right here. I think Oregon's red zone inefficiency is gonna cost them in this game. You gotta be able to score against Ohio State.
So we differed on three. Penn State.
1, 2, 3. So Utah, Arizona State, Penn State, USC, and then Cal and Pittsburgh.
Okay, so. Very interesting. All right, now
loaded
we're
college weekend. So make sure you guys are turn on your television.
Oh, these are huge games.
It's gonna be great. And then tonight we start out with the NFL. We got a little San Francisco at Seattle, who's 3.5-point dogs at home. I want to pick Seattle in the worst way, but I think San Francisco. They're 2-3 right now. They got to string together some wins. So give me San Francisco here. I don't think they cover, though. I think this ends up being a field goal game.
Oh, it's a really, really difficult game. I just think San Francisco's just down. They're just weird. So I'm actually going to take the Seahawks here.
Okay.
And I rarely pick against
I don't hate
San
that. Both are coming off, like I mentioned, both are coming off bad losses. Giants and the Cardinals, they both should have won those games, and to be honest with me, Seattle looked pretty putrid the entire game. And if it wasn't for a 102-yard fumble recovery touchdown, they wouldn't even been in that game towards the end. So we got Jacksonville going to Chicago. Chicago 2.5-point favorites at home. Give me Chicago here. Starting to find a little rhythm. I think Jacksonville pulled one out last week. I don't think they're able to replicate it this week.
I am going to take... Oh, boy, this is tough.
Caleb's finding a stride.
I am going to take the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You just want to differentiate.
No, I just think that they're a better team than that, than their record.
And I I'll agree with you.
And though. I think that I think the law of averages in the NFL is going to start to catch up a little bit.
All right. Arizona Cardinals going to Green Bay. I picked Green Bay.
I'm tired of picking against Green Bay, man. Every damn week.
Green Bay at home is a different animal. It feels like a college environment there. The entire town is basically in that stadium. So I'll take Green Bay there. The Colts go to the Titans. The Titans are 2.5-point favorites at home. I'm not sure who's running the Colts this week. Both teams. I don't know if it's going to be Richardson or Flacco or if it's going to be Levis or Rudolph, but I like the Colts a little bit better here. They're coming off a tough loss, so I'm going to go with Indianapolis here.
I'm going Colts as well.
All right. Texans going to New England. Well, Drake may give them a little spark right there. They're 7-point dogs.
No, he will not. The Texans are going to whoop them.
Texans are a very good team, so give me the Texans as well. Tampa Bay, obviously a ton of stuff going down in Florida right now. They need to evacuate there. They go to New Orleans, who's 3.5-point dogs to Tampa Bay. Give me Tampa Bay here.
Yep, I like Tampa Bay. I think that's a good team.
You're just talking about Spencer Rattler. But you're gonna get to,
what?
You're just talking about Spencer Rattler.
I like Tampa Bay. Like Baker. I want to see Spencer Rattler play well.
Yeah.
But I'm competitive here. I want to win this damn match. I really like the Bucks. I think Baker Mayfield, for as big of a D-bag as he is the epitome of, if you stick with a guy, he will figure it out. He's a really good quarterback.
He's pretty good. I like him a lot, too. I like his moxie, too. I like how cocky he is. Cleveland going to Philly, which is the biggest spread right here. Philly is 9.5-point favorites, coming off a bye week. Give me Philly. I actually think they cover the 10.5, too. Yeah,
Philly, I'll take them.
All right. Washington going to Baltimore. Interesting line right here. 6.5-point favorites for Baltimore. I mean, Washington is a hot, hot team right now. I think Baltimore continues a little streak right here. I think Washington, it's got to come crashing down at some point. Yep. I think they're still a good team, but I'll take Baltimore.
That's where I get back that law of averages in the NFL. I'll take Baltimore, mm-hmm. and I can see it coming back to earth a little bit for Jaden Daniels.
Chargers at Denver right here. I'm going to get the Chargers. Denver is a 3-point home dog. I think the Chargers, I think Harbaugh is going to be able to scheme up some stuff to confuse
Justin Herbert Knicks. Playing?
I'd imagine. They're coming off a bye week, so they let him rest up, so I'd imagine.
All right, I'll go Chargers as well. I like the Broncos a whole lot more than I did after that putrid performance mm-hmm. against the Steelers. So I would be really close there. That's he's
Bo Nix starting to figure
they're figuring
it out.
Some things out.
But then their defense is a tough defense, dude.
Yes,
tough defense.
Yes.
Pittsburgh at Vegas. You already spoiled it. You went Vegas here.
Yeah, we're taking a break. Was that the last one?
We got four more after this.
Oh, hurry up! Let's go through the other three.
Okay, I'm taking Pittsburgh right there. Detroit at Dallas. 3-point dogs at home. Dallas.
Detroit at Dallas.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Dallas.
I'm going to take Detroit right here. Coming
okay,
off a bye.
I figured, yeah.
Atlanta at Carolina, 6-point dogs. Carolina is at home. Give me Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta. I think that's a good team.
Yep. Cincinnati and New York Giants, a stellar Sunday night football game.
You love the Giants. You're picking the Giants all every week.
I will not be picking the Giants this week. I think Cincinnati is fighting for their season.
There
so.
We go, Bengals. Yep.
Zach Taylor's another guy in the hot seat, too. I forgot about him. And then final game, Monday Night Football, Buffalo going to the newly vamped, coached New York Jets right there. Give me the Jets.
I'm going to take the Jets as well. We'll do the Steelers and we'll do the Steelers and Raiders here in a second.
This is J.M. Boswell. Visit me before hunting, fishing, tailgating, and I will make your visit easy and fast. Don't slow up the tailgate party or the hunting trip with your friends without a great cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's Pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday, and always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Fall Sale and get 30% off paints and stains from October 11th through the 21st. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, board-certified urologist and senior vice president of men's sexual health at HIMSS. I've helped many guys with ED in my 12 years of practice, but now you can get world-class care for ED 100% online by going to HIMSS.com. So what are you waiting for?
To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% off brand name prices, go to HIMSS.com/joy.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips and snacks for your Halloween party or trick-or-treat, great times and great snacks go hand-in-hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets, too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
Hank FM!
Sports Central right here with Nathan Fillion and Corey Geiger. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show, enjoyed some predictions we got. We got one more for you guys. Steelers and Raiders right here. I believe it's at 4 o'clock on Sunday. Corey said he's going with the Raiders. And what makes
I'm
you think
going
that?
Raiders.
What makes you think that?
Because I think the Steelers suck.
I think they're not fantastic
I
either.
Think the Steelers' offense is an embarrassment.
I think the Raiders suck a little more.
So. And they're going with Aiden O'Connell over Gardner Minshew.
Yes.
So, hey, it's if the Steelers give up 20 points, they're going to lose.
Absolutely, for sure. Now, I'm hoping maybe Devontae Adams just goes with the team on the plane back.
That would be the issue, because Raiders have a lot of people out, including probably Devontae Adams. He's probably not playing.
Adams is not playing. Adams will never play another down in Raiders.
Yeah, that's probably right. So if you lose, but this just has Mike Tomlin special written all over it to me. Mm-hmm. They go out west. They're not ready to go.
They're not ready for sure. Max Crosby might be a game wrecker. We'll have to see, but appreciate you guys listening as always.
96.1 Hank FM. WKMC. Roaring Spring Altoona.